Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. And as always, I'd like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Once again, however you may be hearing this, now, future, we pray that we say something that actually spark us in the same way, serving our Lord, working together to build something for ourselves. When I say for ourselves, of course, I'm talking first. You got to do it for yourself. And the picture has to be clearly in all of our minds, that when we're doing for self, we mean it just like that. I have to serve me first. When I pray, I have to pray for me first. I add in my prayers my parents. I add my children, my relatives, my friends, people who have problems. I add that into prayer. The first asks Allah to help me. And this is prayer. This is prayer for whoever it is, if it's a Christian. You know, we got some Muslims, some our own, who will say, well, the Christians' prayer don't work like ours work. Ain't it the same God hearing it? In other words, we don't believe in two gods. I've heard Christians say, well, that ain't our God. Again, I have to tell them, it ain't the one. Whatever the faith is, that belongs to God is only one. We use the term God because God tells us also to speak in the language of the people,
mm-hmm.
so they understand. He tells us also, this is crying, I'm saying. He tells us to sit with them, talk, and talk on what's common among you. You sit down right away and you, Allah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you just left commonality, that which is common. So we have to use the message in a manner that helps us. Things that we recognize is that Allah, when he created man, he didn't create a bunch of men and say, well, one group looks like this, one group look like that, et cetera, and y'all going to be separate. He created the whole humanity from one man, starting with one man and then giving him a wife. In that, every color that exists for humanity, even down to the albino or to someone that is so dark they call him blue. I had a friend like that. He was so, the rest of the children, I wouldn't tease him like that, but the rest of the children would tell him, you're so black, you blue. And that's okay, because if that's your skin color, that's what God gave you. But, you know, we come up like that. We come up seeing differences. Allah wants us to see the same. He creates, oh, when he talk about a hellfire, there's one hellfire for everything that don't deserve to go to the paradise. One hellfire. I mean, probably bigger than this earth. But nonetheless, there's one. And at a certain time, everything that's to burn is going to come and go through that. But at the same thing, at the same time, excuse me, everything that is to be rewarded, they'll be rewarded at the same time. Will it be in the same second, same minutes? I don't think that's going to matter. Allah said we'll all stand before and we'll have to answer from what we got. There are people who died who never heard of a prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. They won't be judged by that. Allah is fair. You know, we could, humans, I'm talking about now, can stack the deck and want to make a certain class of people win, knowing that they didn't give the others the same chance. That used to happen to us a lot coming out of slavery. Once upon a time, we wasn't allowed to vote. Coming out of slavery, the people knew what they did to us, but at the same time, they didn't want to be fair. You know, they said we were the ones that didn't work, was weak, couldn't do nothing. But just when they look out their window and see us in that hot sun doing everything they can't do, thinking. And I'm not saying this for any anger or any stimulation for some emotion. I'm saying this that we should think, we should know that while they were looking at us and saying we were weak, they couldn't do it. They tried Chinese, they tried the people who we call today Indians, you know, here in America. No, they couldn't do it. They refused to do it. They got a battle. As soon as they got that dark skin out of Africa, they found out we can stand in the sun and we can do that, but it still was too powerful for them. And again, I'm not talking any anger talk. I'm saying a traveling. A certain path Allah put us on. Don't think they did that. There's no reason to think that they did it and they're too weak to do it anyway. And I ain't saying that also. I'm doing a lot of disclaimers right here as I speak. We're not trying to row that up. My suggestion, my thought is basically for us to see as a people what Allah has given us as well as what he gave to everybody else. You know, I used to, as a youngster in high school, I went to South Philadelphia High. There was a choice for me to go to Bach, which was a trade school that most African-Americans were sent to. But my teacher, my African-American math teacher and my Caucasian English teacher would tell me all the way through school, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, They called me Mims. My last name was Mims back then. Mims, don't go to box with everybody else. And I had a friend named Blue. That's the one I was saying that he was so dark they called him Blue. And the African American, Caucasian wouldn't say nothing about that, but the African American one, she said, don't be like this old dumb Blue. His name was Nani, but dumb Blue. He's an ignorant nigga. Now, she would say that, and even in front of the white teacher, Miss Davis, beautiful woman. Beautiful. I mean, physically and the way she treats you. She said, but Mims, you need to go to South Philly High. Wasn't too many blacks go to South Philly High back then.
Right. You're right.
So you are different from the rest. Now, this is something Allah acknowledges with us. Every human being has it, but he got to put it forward. He got to try it. She was trying to steer me. The Caucasian one in math was trying to steer me to go southern, not the box. No, it was easy for me to go to box. Every black could go to box. They're asking me to go to South Philly High, southern.
And that in North Philly was jobs.
Yes, with a few of them. That's right. They would do that. But these teachers would tell me from the the 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, they followed me along, pushing that to happen. I went. I finally went. You know what I mean? And I was so, I guess, gifted in one sense, I got left down. Now, somebody might have said, now you just patting yourself on the back. I wasn't smart enough to know, and I would say my parents wasn't. Now, those teachers, if they had been in Southern, I'm sure they'd have helped me see that.
Mm-hmm.
That the class that I got in wasn't the class I should have been. I should have been in the A class. Because they'd give us the assignments, and I'd be finished in 10 minutes and literally turn around and talk to the person behind me. I forget his name, but African American.
Mm-hmm.
He acted like he couldn't do none of the work, and I would be helping him. So the teacher, the same African-American teacher, another African-American teacher, began to say to me, you're a wanderer. Because I would be finished work in 10 minutes. They still taking almost 25, 30 minutes to finish it. So I ain't had nothing to do. They didn't want me to talk to the students. Now, had I been Caucasian, maybe they would have made me what they call a teacher's pet to show everybody else how to do the work. But it hurt me the way I was because it was too slow for me, and I'm moving around, so they kept me behind, literally. So, you know, I see now the damage it's done, so I'm able to help my grandchildren or my children that's not the way to do it. Go to a higher or more challenging class, you know what I mean? But nonetheless, when I got out of school, I wound up getting drafted. Completed my school while I was in the military, and when I finished that, of course, you heard me say before, I got locked up at a period of time after coming out of the military, joining the nation, and I went to college while I was in jail. So I went to college. I got a bachelor's degree. I was only there long enough to get that. And the benefit of the college, and I'm saying all this for a reason. I ain't bragging. I ain't boasting because I wish if it was to do all over again, some of the paths that I took, I wouldn't take.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when I went to college, they paid me enough that I was able to buy a house for my wife, who I told to leave me while I was in prison, and buy a car. So those things showed me something, too. Those things showed me that no matter where you are, if you try, a door will open up for you. Who opened it? They opened it in prison? No. Allah opened it up. And I'm tying that to this. Allah gives all of us the same gift, every human being. In every family today, you see somebody with autism. If your family large enough, you've seen people die early. You see people go to school and do well, and you see people go to school and don't do so well. Every gift that has been given to Caucasians, Orientals, have been given to everything that is dark, whether it's born in Africa, born in America, or born somewhere else in the world. One of our problems that we throw away a gift that was forced upon us in America once upon a time. We had no friends but each other in the field, in the slave field.
Yes, sir.
had no friends. Everything, that's right, and everything acted like it was against us, so we had to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a natural human road to travel down, that you love that which is like you. You love your family, you love your cousins, you love your friends, and you grow together and you build. The society itself, though, has taken us away from seeing what God wants for us, what Allah wants for us. And how do I mean that? Since slavery, I can't speak too much on how we was before we were brought over here, but since slavery, we have a habit of wanting to be somebody else. Nothing wrong with us, but we still, and I'm talking now, and I'm going to the Muslims. I'm going to the imams, my brothers, the ones I know and the ones I don't know, whether they're our association or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We always want to be someone else and put down our own. I listen at the few khutbahs that I go to different places that other people are doing them, and I watch the African-American, particularly the imam. And as I've said before, he may do an hour khutbah, 40 minutes, maybe 30 for some, 35, but usually two-thirds of it is in Arabic. I used to tell the people that spoke only Arabic that the prophet said, and I still say it, the prophet said, don't you, who don't know the language of the people you're talking to, don't you teach them, don't you lead them. Let them show them the five principles, the five pillars, and let them teach their own. The benefit is always in the one who belongs to the family can teach the family better if they have the knowledge to do so. Naturally, if a person can't spell, can't read, like many of our parents was coming out of slavery, our foreparents, they couldn't teach us much. They taught us work ethic. They taught us how to be truthful. They told us not taught us how to not be weak. And coming out of slavery, they didn't teach us. Think about this. You check the records. They did not teach us to be like someone else. They was teaching us to be ourselves. Don't feel dishonored because we were displaced during slavery, so to speak. When we look at the work that has to be done today, to be seen in the same manner, we have to see ourselves working as one. This body of people who have come through these different trials through time, and particularly those of us who have been blessed to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his son, Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. And we'll find many, many throughout those numbers that were leaders and not leaders who helped enhance the growth and the positive picture of those two movements during those times of the years of our life. Some of us have forgotten that. Some of us know that, lived it, but today want to be an Arab. What gift will Allah give you that you don't even know how to be yourself? You're cheating your own people. We're trying to build today. We need to build. We want to build the model community. It won't take long if we move right. I don't mean just step to the right. Move right in knowing for a surety this is ours to do. Nobody else has to build a community for us. Matter of fact, I don't see a people anywhere on earth, and I'm not the one that know everybody, but I don't see any people who would find it to be something that they should do to take on our burden to build a community for us when we have people who have built worlds for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're in every field that exists. You want to build a castle? We did it. The pyramids, I'm told we did it. I ain't been over there in Egypt. I haven't looked at it, but everything that I see that comes across that's not just a, you know, a movie, a story, it tells us that it was our people who built it, our people who moved those big blocks. Well, that's the kind of tools that they have today. I mean, you can see a crane today lifting some up to a certain height. They were the crane. They were the brains that made the crane work.
Mm-hmm.
Issue, as a people, has been blessed on every account. Allah never left us off. And we have to be crazy to think he didn't know what happened to us. What happened to us was part of the challenge for where we got to go. The world that we're supposed to touch. The influence that we're supposed to leave. For others, I'll be truthful with you. I can't myself, I'm not racist. I can say clearly I don't know anybody I ever hated. Now, I'll punish you. I tell people I'm a sucker, you know, a lollipop laced with a cyanide. You can suck on me if you want, act like I'm a sucker, and find out that cyanide come up in your system and do something to you.
Disrupt it.
That's right, and that's how we all have to be. We're not to be played with. I don't pick with Caucasians. I don't pick with Orientals. I don't pick with Hispanics. I don't pick with my own people and any other people that I can name or don't name. And that's the majority of us. I'm not, you know, I'm talking about Wally Bilal, yes. But the majority of us do not go around causing trouble. But we have to look and see the value that Allah has given us in building something for ourselves. And people who couldn't read for what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. And we got people that still want to say he wasn't on the haq. How are you going to get on the haq, first of all? Ain't the haq al-haq? Ain't that Allah? How are you going to get on him? I mean, what do they mean when you're on the haq? You ain't on the truth. No, ain't nobody can win a conversation with me telling me we wasn't on that. I know what I live. I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. I don't curse. I don't go out and do things that I shouldn't be doing. No, I can, and I ain't the only one. Brothers that's here with me, many of them. In other words, you know your own life. The thief, no, I used to say this even before coming to Muslim. The thief knows he's a thief. The liar knows he's a liar. Those who are deceitful, they know it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't have followers like that. He was blessed by Allah to get the best of us. The Imam was blessed to get the best of us. Do we got some little wiggling among us, some worms among us? Yeah, everybody do. They try to get in. That's Shaitan's job. He promised to Allah that if he get respite, and once he got respite, he said now, like as if Allah didn't notice that he was going to say this. Now I'm a lead as many as I can astray. But that ain't the majority of us. I don't believe that's the majority of any group of human beings, whether they're racist, whatever their religious life is. If people are deceived, they're deceived. But if they're not deceived, if they're not being deceived, I believe they work to live a good life also. Some don't want to be living near certain people. That's okay. That's the way they were brought up. It's in their great-great-great-great-grandparents and all the way to them that they hated people just because of the color of their skin. We don't suffer from that. We just need to move together and build. And when I say move together, move as one across the country, building, establishing things. So at this moment, we're going to take a PSA and see you back in a moment. We're going to start off, we're going to let Brother James start off reading the Quran, and then if you don't mind, my brother, put a PSA on right after that.
Assalamualaikum. I'd like to read from the 9th and the 10th ayah in the Quran from Surah 17. Verily, this Quran doth guide to that which is most right or stable, and giveth the glad tidings to the believers who work deeds of righteousness, that they shall have a magnificent reward. And to those who believe not in hereafter, it announces that we have prepared for them a penalty grievous indeed. for your love.
Sure, brother. Pretty much. But I'm gonna go ahead and move on. If you, brother Hamid, if you cut in, it's okay. And if you don't, I'm gonna move on to the next part as I continue.
So, assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis.
There you go.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it sound like it's a delay.
Go ahead, brother Imam.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us. or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And we are back, Imam Wali.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Brother and Imam, yes. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal once again, the halal industry do for self. So I'm going to continue from where I was at. Our goals, our efforts are no different than any other people. The difference should be, though, is do we have Allah, God, out front, following a man, or is we following a people? We're following something that you can't explain. Allah says that they will even fear men more than they fear Allah. That can't be us. Our experience make us clearly see that. That can't be us. We see ourselves today through others telling us what we're like. We have lived through the time that someone can just tell us something about ourselves that we don't already know.
Mm-hmm.
We are servants of God. The majority of us, I would say the majority of humanity. Shaitan is whispering to every race of people within every faith and within every language. He's whispering. I often say to the brothers and sisters when I'm speaking about the whisperer, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said to his wife Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. When she asked him, he was speaking to her about the jinn, and he said, everyone has one. And she said, even you? And the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, yes, I have one too, but mine have submitted. He became Muslim. And I tell people, I've tested myself in that. How can you tell? And here's another statement before I say this. This is from Allah in the Quran. He says to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, tell them. He's telling Muhammad the Prophet to tell the following, not just in his time, but forever. Tell them, you're flesh and blood like that. Meaning whatever you can do in your service to Allah, they can do it. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, his jinn has submitted. He made, he made his jinn Muslim. So you and I can do the same thing. I know my life. I know how I live. I'm thankful to Allah. I'm 75. As I say, I'm halfway to where I would like to be. And the only one I can ask, the only entity I can ask to get to be 150 is Allah. I've had people say, well, you know, you might want to live longer, but your time has already been set. Yes, but my Lord is a merciful God. If I ask for more time, you mean he won't give it to me? So let me go back to one. I'll get ready to bring something else into that point, but let me go back to where I was at. How do I tell? How can you tell if your jinn's submitted? We've done things in this society that maybe didn't exist in the same manner in the society of Muhammad the Prophet. I've learned to see. First of all, I'm a person that I never came up liking to curse. My father didn't curse. He didn't drink. I didn't like to do those things. In the military, I did some of them, especially in Vietnam. I got on the plane July 10th, 2000. What year was that? I'm talking about 2000.
1969.
I apologize. I'm all in the 2000s. And when I got on the plane, I had brought a couple cartons of cigarettes. I didn't throw them away. I should have, but I didn't. But I knew I wasn't going to smoke. They didn't hear me curse much, but I knew I was never going to curse again. Now, I didn't know nothing about this story like this. Here I am, a Muslim, since 1969, since began the chase, going to the temple, July 18, 1969. And from that day, I committed myself. I read the Quran and everything in Vietnam, but I committed to be a Muslim as of July 18, 1969. In my commitment to that, I said, I won't do no wrong. Don't think I didn't make no mistakes or anything like that. I have to ask Allah for forgiveness for that. But my jinn couldn't suggest to me to curse, couldn't suggest to me to go lay with a woman that wasn't my wife. Once I came into Islam, and I'm not perfect, this is all of us. If your jinn can't make you or suggest to you, I've done some things that I shouldn't have done since then. But he can't make me do it again. I smoked cigarettes before. The jinn can't get me to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying, I'm not making me the person. I'm saying, look at yourself. Every human being, again, regardless what faith they say they're part of, whatever their color of skin or whatever their nationality they are, wherever they live in the world, easy to serve God and kill the things in us that's wrong. The jinn whispers, my brother James right here, they can whisper all they want. I could be, or vice versa. I could be asleep, they can whisper in my ear. When I wake up, I ain't doing that. If they whisper the wrong thing, I can whisper in there, they ain't going to do it. Our families won't see us looking like we want to do something on the wrong side. So Allah is telling us through the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, how to correct the errors in our life. The jinn also whispers to us not to work together, faulting each other. We can go shop anywhere. Think about this here, the average African-American, Muslim particularly, but all of them. The average African-American spend their time, their money, their laughter and enjoyment around other people. And when they get around their own, they don't want to spend their money with them.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of us. The Muslims, particularly that came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W.D. Muhammad, we have to make sure that don't become a part of us. There's nothing telling us to be tight-fist. You can hold your money in your hand tight, not to drop it. You got holes in your pocket. You can be tight-fist like that, but not to build for yourself, not to share with yourself. We have to look at what character we have. Allah says in the Quran about the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. In him, not on him. In him. In other words, there's nothing in the Quran to tell us to be Arabs. There's nothing in the Quran that suggests we should be other than the nationality that we are. Some of us want to be African. We ain't African. I ain't no American. Allah put us here. What the heck are you talking about? Just like he put, remember once upon a time, there wasn't no dark and light people. There was just Adam. Just Adam getting instruction. Then it was him and his wife. And I would assume whatever complexion he was came from the earth. Depends on what part of the earth. Was it white earth? I don't think it was sand. Was the earth brown? Was it black? Was it gray? Whatever it was, I would think they had the hue of the whatever they came from. Don't have to be. I wasn't there and ain't trying to prove it. But it was seen that there's something in him from the earth that he came from. But every human being, especially large groups that's been born since the time of Adam, have been put in a place, their country. That's where they live. Their challenge to other nations and nationalities come from where they are. Whether they say I'm Russian, I'm England. I'm Pakistani. I'm Arab. I'm an American. And our people who are so slow, I mean, I ain't trying to beat us up. We just got to do better messaging. We let somebody talk us in the from overseas in Islam thinking we shouldn't be American. Think about this. Maybe 20 years ago, America was called the big shaitan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, you don't hear that. Who tamed shaitan in America? We did. We did. We shut our shaitan down.
Right.
We shut him down as a jinn without knowing it. He couldn't grow into a shaitan. He couldn't get big in the Nation of Islam. And the Nation of Islam, if you recall, every city, we had respect. Not only did we have respect, they had regard for what we protected, that they came in our presence. I'm talking about our own people, too, came in our presence and didn't bring none of the negative. They'd come in. Oh, sister, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't see you over there. Respect came from what we did. We worked as one across the country. And across the country, people were saying, the Muslims, they some said, I had a person say to me, I couldn't join the Nation because I can't call a white man a devil. He was scared to call him a devil, but he worked for him. I mean, I had a couple said that, mm-hmm. and I've heard other people say they heard the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Things in this manner to say, we have a world to build. Every human being and every nation of humans are to be off in a race to all that is good. Nobody who's thinking that came before us told us we could just sit down and enjoy the ride. No, Allah is commanding all of us to move and go off, even in that. Go off as in a race. So all that is good. No, this is our day and time.
Right.
We have to be those who see where we fit, and we fit first here in America, those of us that's an American. But let's make America, not using Donald Trump's language, great again. He's talking about racism, and we don't have to fight. That ain't gonna take no full growth. There's gonna always be people of certain race that don't like our race, and they will sometimes try to take us back to the history that once was our history. Think about the military and everybody that joined in to wipe out the black bank, Wall Street. They saw blacks all of a sudden strong enough, think about this, strong enough to lend money to white folks. And they wondered, how did they get that strong? Politicians, people that were strong enough to be political life, coming out of slavery. That was too much for some of them. But Allah tells us to continue. Strive for all that is good. Trust your Lord and work for what's right. And he'll reward you. Appealing to all of us to take our strength and use the process that Imam Muhammad gave us. Allah gave it to us, but we was reading it and we didn't understand it until he gave it to us. Sharabainahu. This body, AM360, was one of the first bodies that showed what Sharabainahu looked like. And I know because I had imams. We met on the telephone. We didn't do Zoom back then. And they were seeing what imams was with this body, the community-wide Shura conference coming together. Or should we go against it? And I thank Allah then and now as well. I was one of the ones that said, no, we should. In other words, we need all of us. We ain't just imam over the community or kings or whatever, and we run in the country, and we're going to wind up growing into what? We already see what that looks like. There's a king in Saudi.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, I can't prove it. I wasn't standing there, but everything I understand, is that an imam can't give a khutbah without the king approving it. How did the king get over the Quran? If the imam is talking from the Quran, the king should be saying, even looking like maybe the president's just here. Like they come in, they be brought in the office, they look like they respect the church. I don't know if they do or not, but they at least look like that they ain't trying to run the church. Our king run the masjid. How he runs the imam. In other words, he need to go get his blessings. But instead, he's giving the order like his orders is over Allah. So why am I speaking like this? Am I speaking something against somebody? No. I'm speaking to the fact that Allah says that he gives to us, and in his giving to us, it is a mercy to humanity. What is? Just what he gave us? No. What he gave us coming alive in us. People will be shamed around the world to see this body of people, once upon a time Negroes, once upon a time slaves, once upon a time FOI, right on through. Look up and see that we are living the Quran better than they have lived it over hundreds of years. The prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said to his companions. You get a picture like he's speaking at a Juma or a Talim, but he was speaking, and they were listening. He said, there will be people one day who have never seen me, who have never stepped foot on this land. They're going to take what I'm giving you. He's saying this to Umar and Abu Bakr and all the rest of them, his wives and everybody. Even Bilal was there. They're going to get this and do more with it than you can. There's a couple companions said that they wish they could be in this time. Well, that's not the way it goes. Allah giving what he gives to a people. And when he gives it to the people, he gives it to them in their time. They got the prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, live. So they had the ability to do what was necessary while he was there. But the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, was always guided by Allah and given help by the angel Jibril from time to time. So he stated what he knew, that one day, do you think he was just talking about the people that got it in Morocco or in Persia or even in Yatridge? No, long as humanity lived, long as there's something coming behind us, there's going to be some that will see this Quran, see this life of Islam, and they'll be able to study it even more than us because we have gone from a point in our time, I'm speaking of, that where they couldn't get the message across one part of the same land without riding for days. We can do it in seconds, less than seconds. We can Zoom anywhere. We can do FaceTime anywhere. So those coming after us, they're going to have something mightier than that. It'll be stronger than what we got. But we are the ones also to join in opening doorways so they can get it. We're not finished because we pray. I like I said, I hear brothers getting before us, learning Arabic, African Americans and some foreigners, and they're talking. The sins, brother, Allah don't forgive his sins. When did you get so strong you can say what Allah don't do? Allah forgives everything. Or he don't forgive shirt. No, not long as you want to stay in shirt, you standing in front of want to stay in shirt, it's too late. But those of us who've had shirk in our own way, Allah moved it. Sending you, you know, you got to keep prayer. You know, we had a saying in the days of the nation, go out and fish, bring the people in so they can hear this message. And when they seen a couple of us talking to each other, the brother, y'all just talking to whales, meaning that you don't have to fish yourself in. You hear. I've been praying the way we pray today. I'm talking about on rugs. Since 1969, I think it may have been October, September, whatever, but I came in the nation, and as I said, a brother by the name of Lieutenant William 7X took a liking to me and began teaching me Arabic right away. teaching me how to pray five prayers, because he prayed like that right away. And before the class was over, the orientation class was over, at 6 months, 4 months, whatever it was, period, I was the demonstrator on how to make all the prayers. That don't make me no big to do. That ain't what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's an insult for people to come. It's an insult for our imams, our representatives of the masjid, to let people come before us and talk to us about sin when many of us, we ain't seen a sin. We spell it, but we ain't seen a sin in our lives longer than some of them been born. Some of them haven't lived long enough to say they was around to see the things that when we first came into Islam. We have to watch. We bring people, allow people to come around us and talk to us like we don't know. Like, Allah didn't give me this. Allah gives us everything. Allah gives us everything. The problem is, what do we deny? Think about the Muslims, imams even. My brothers, I love them, no question about it. I'm talking about African-American ones, descendants of slaves, who came through the nation or came through Imam Muhammad, who can't explain them and want to look like somebody else. How Saudi or anywhere authorized worship to Allah? Two brothers here, I've been knowing them for years. Met Nate. Nate was, when I came home, 1977. He's the first brother. I've seen brothers in the masjid. I went to the masjid. He's the first brother out of the group that I introduced myself, and he introduced himself to me. I've said it before. He was loading the truck. I asked him, where the brothers at? He looked at me with his regular look. Some of the brothers. You know what I mean? In other words, he didn't give him no feeling of good because they wasn't about to do nothing. And I said, well, you need some help? Can I help you? He said, yeah. And we were friends ever since then, close friends. Why would I look for somebody else to come tell me how to be a Muslim when the two of us can show each other if we make a mistake? Brother James, shortly after that, and many, many more right in Philly and beyond. I don't want somebody else to come and tell me how to worship. Like, I don't know how to pray to God. I don't know how to pray to Allah. I don't know how to read the Quran. But brother, the Arabic said, you read Arabic. In Arabic, Allah says in Arabic. Don't speak to people in a language other than their own, because they may not understand. He's telling you to grow up. You want to speak to the English people? Learn to speak English. Muslims that speak English want to speak to those who speak Arabic? Then learn to speak it. But don't change from the people's language that they grew up in, because we say, man, that cat is something. Some people, not knowing the language, they're looking for a little furry cat running around. Well, we're talking about a man. Man, ain't she bad? And if they don't catch the way we're saying it, they think she should go to jail. So there's the same thing in Arabic. They have terms that they understand. Remember this, too. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, when he was given revelations, the Arabs didn't know what he was talking about. There are terms in the Quran that they never heard before. Allah gave that to him. They got it now, but they didn't know then. But the language of Arabic, or the speaking of Arabic they was just local, how the people spoke. This was high-rise material coming from God himself in a language that they themselves understood but didn't know certain connections in words. So am I harping against us learning Arabic? No. Let us make sure, even if we can't get it the way we need it, let us make sure it's in our schools. Let's make sure that we get educators that can take from the very youngest as possible to at least the sixth grade and give 5 to 6 languages. Should we be successful with the halal industry? Yes, we're gonna identify our schools, Clara Muhammad, University of Islam, W.D. Muhammad Institute, we don't have all those names and more. But in them, one of the things we want is no less than 5, but maybe 6 or more languages before they get out of sixth grade. You might say, well, how can we do that? Well, you got five days.
Excuse me, man, Wally.
Yeah, you want to take a break? Go ahead.
No, someone has raised their hand.
We want
to acknowledge the people that
yes.
may want to make comment here. Then
yes,
we'll go to another PSA, inshallah. Error code 267-385.
Mayor, 267-385.
Give
some more to that number, because Nate got the first six numbers too.
And his phone been laying here. He didn't seem to touch it.
Yeah, you know, that's it. Yeah, that other phone was interfering. So.
Okay. So that's not
okay. We will pause now for a public service announcement. And
yes,
there's,
sir,
if there's any of you that would like to lend commentary and sharing the halal industry do-for-self broadcast, I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, inshallah.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And we are back. Is there anyone that would like to lend commentary to what you heard thus far? I ask that you press 1. And Emmanuel Ayubilal would be glad to accommodate you. Okay. We have a caller here. 727-741. Welcome to the Halal Industry Group of South.
Thank you very much. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, and I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Pompano, Florida, still in Florida. And greetings of peace to everyone. Wali Ayubilal and James Bashir and Nate, I guess I should say, right? Brother Nate. And
yes.
Ma'am Kareem Hamid. Yes. And the listening to you, Imam Wali, I want to stress, because we're doing the 50-year, we've been working quietly on a 50-year human family strategic planning. And
yes.
The strategic planning of initiatives includes economics. And at every dimension, economics, governance, education, and sociocultural, has their own dimensions, which are very widespread, and I want to go to the point of, as you're going to be connecting by way of Zoom with individuals, and the first thing that say laying out any plan, of course, is to connect with people and their strengths, them understanding their strengths, so that we don't come loosely, but we come with the intent to see what we do have naturally in our areas to assist with our strength. And the coming together doesn't necessarily mean that everybody does, well, of course it doesn't mean everybody would do the same thing.
That's
so
right.
My question is, in the alignment of everyone and their strength, putting together a graph, a measurable goal graph with goals outlining maybe 5, 10 years. So, and I know you mentioned you have a 35-year plan prior to our mentioning a 50-year plan. So, you know, seeing what is there and compiling a measurable map goal of the United States is what I'm referring to.
Yes.
That's my question. Is it that feasible for us to do that?
Yes, yes, it is. And that's why I said even when I first suggested about building a map, yes, any one of us, anyone, male, female, imam, not imam, et cetera, educator, could probably draw a picture out and name different things that make a community. But what really makes it is when all of us are involved, people from our skills. My skills, Allah bless us to complete what we want to do with the halal industry, will be economic community. We'll be able to pay for some things that, and not always have to take a collection, but when it be a collection, it could be a lump sum that can actually move us a little quicker. You got educators who need to come in and say certain things, or just I can't even name all the type or give description of everybody that should be involved, but no one should be, and they won't be there or won't be of any use. We need everybody, and it's going to take a moment to talk and go over, and then we need those people who, like a group together, because of the same identity. Like, for instance, if we got 10 accountants, those 10 accountants need to be forming part of the conversation. So when we do the major convention, they will represent the whole group from an accountant standpoint. Lawyers may do the same thing. Educators may do the same thing. Economic people, et cetera, et cetera. And that needs all of us. As a matter of fact, Sister Martha, I'm calling you the other day. I did call, but I didn't get through.
Okay.
But maybe this evening or tomorrow, if I don't call you, you call me. So, because I'm going to need you all's help from AM360 to help get the message out as well. You know, I mean, that's not my area as much, you know what I mean? But I think collectively, the 50 year that you're speaking of, same thing. We need the same thing. We need to be building together from around the country for those who have different qualifications. I've worked in construction some years, but I'm not a developer, and I don't need to be in that. Brother Nate has not only been along with construction and developing, but he's worked with major people for about how many years?
35
years, building hospitals, schools, just large things, all kind of stuff throughout the Delaware Valley. Delaware Valley is eastern Pennsylvania, southern New Jersey, Delaware, and that's a nice little space that he's built a lot of, worked with companies that built a lot of big things, and one company was his major company for most of that 35 years. So, will he do it all? No, but he knew it. So he can lead the charge in some of that, and I'm sure we got other brothers and sisters around me that can lead in that as well. You know what I mean? So we need to be talking on a Zoom, inviting first the people who have a qualification so we can organize what we call, maybe call them for thousands, but it'll be where different groups of people be talking maybe a weekend. We may need a whole week to talk. You know what I mean? So, but we need each other involved.
I mean, this is serious. So, alhamdulillah, I'm thankful that you're on, and that's our think tank. You're the think tank director. So, alhamdulillah.
Yep.
Thank you so very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So, Brother Nate, you can be there.
So, we're going to read the announcement. Assalamu alaikum, AM360. Nate Muhammad here. I like to read these announcements. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. Do fulfill with your host, Iman Ali Ayu Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Allows Inc. is to establish economics for the African American people, descendants of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build a model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org. Parent Corporation Community Wide Conference at cwsc.us or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
Yes, once again, this is Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, the Halal Industry, Do For Self, and continuing from where we at, we're praying that Allah bless all of us. One of my prayers every day over and over again, that all of us that are around today, that he bless us to live a long time. Mm-hmm. As I've said, my father used to read the Bible to me, and by the time I was 10, I was saying, Dad, I got the patience of Job. I got the patience of Job. And I've been saying that all my life. And then I was saying, and I don't know where I got the 150, but I said I would like to live to be 150. So I'm halfway there. But I pray for all of us that are here today, and I don't mean on AM360, those who don't even hear. I pray that we live and we struggle and we have time to put a new world before our people and before the people in general. Because whoever's the mercy for humanity, that's not for a race. That's for everyone. I know that the Arabs that are high up, when they talk to Imam Muhammad, even when they talk to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they saw what the prophet said, prayers and peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad told him in the last address, they were teasing Bilal. Oh, black Bilal. He said, all of you are black.
Yes, right.
Every one of us are black. Then he said, one day, speaking, and they translate the Arabic as the raisin head, talking about us. We call ourselves sometimes nappy head, peasy head, or whatever, but we know what's being said. But he said the raisin head, they will one day be the Khalifa. And for years, we have been fighting that. They didn't want to see it come from here. So they would like for us to think. And these are our brothers and our sisters. I'm not condemning them. I'm not doing that. I'm just speaking about the actions. They have not been an example for themselves. Our brothers over there. Our sisters over there. Not all of them. I ain't condemning all of them. I'm talking more leadership than I'm talking anything else. We are living proof that Allah is in the life of the human being. Everywhere. We are living proof. I used to counsel when I was imam, had a masjid in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd counsel. I counseled a Russian, counseled a number of Pakistanis, an Egyptian, and all of them, a few others. But those stand out because those few that right there,
mm-hmm.
They made sure to tell me and my wife, because I had my wife accompany for the sister to feel a little comfortable as well. They said before I walk out the door, each of them, the one that was really high up on stressing his point was the Pakistan people. They all said the same.
but they was stressing it like, man, don't let this get out. And I would ask them why. Pakistani people said this, the class system. In other words, they're not supposed to learn anything from us, this African-American descendant of a slave once called a Negro. But each of them would say, Brother Iman, I have never heard of counseling or an expression like you've given. And I would never fail to say to them, well, thank Allah for what we learned with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his son, Imam Warfteen Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, thank you. And they would honor us, think they rolled in a carpet out for us. But please don't tell nobody we did this. But not only that, that's the problem in the world.
They don't
want to acknowledge that human beings are human beings.
Any differences, I see.
But and here's another thing the Prophet, prayer and peace be upon him, is reported have said. He said every time Islam comes to a new area, remember it started in Becca, mm-hmm. which is today Mecca. Then it went to Yathrib, which is today Medina. Then Persia and it went on around, Persia today Iran, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, but every time Islam comes to a place, it will come to the people who are on the low end, the people on the bottom, people who look to be most ignorant, who are in most need of guidance and putting their life together. So why wouldn't it come to us in America? There's nobody frowned upon more than us in America. So it's a blessing. Allah allowed us to be slaves. It's a blessing in it. He had work for us. He made this machine possible, if I could call us machines, by stripping us. And here's another thing. I mentioned this pretty regular. In the libraries, they say in their history books that the Quakers argued the point with the government of America, the people who enslaved the people in America, that if any of these dark people, probably call us the N-word or whatever the case was, if any of them are Christian, you cannot make them a slave. And again, those who had some seniority from overseas, their son might have been a prince or something, some kind of ranking person in the family of royalty, wherever they came from. Looked like us. All of us looked alike. They're talking about dark people that were brought here for slavery. If he had that kind of status, or she, they had to let him go back to their country. So who did they keep? The dark Muslims. That's who we were. We were Muslims. Now, what's so important about that? Allah allowed us to lose every trace of that through slavery. He allowed us to become not knowing where we came from, ourselves. We couldn't even pass the word down. There was no book writing. This America at that time, if they caught us trying to read, they punished us. Punishment wasn't enough to kill us, so it would be a threat to the rest. And they were so hard, they got it into their history books, that their own Caucasian brothers, slaveholders, et cetera, if they were found teaching one of us how to read, they would punish that person.
Right.
Might even kill them. This was a design from Allah. You know you ain't got to do all that to make a slave. You get a big enough property and get that person there, and that person don't have no way to get out, and you can lock them in a room, and they can't get out, and you feeding them, you controlling their life. They may be thinking about getting away, but they ain't going to just run out, especially if you can whoop them every now and then. They don't want that whooping. But to make a kind of slave that we was as a whole people, this was a design. Allah had a design that one day Islam needed to be shown to another people. A mercy to humanity. We have to believe that's us. In other words, we ain't got to go around tooting our horn, so to speak. But we should be forever grateful to Allah that he allowed us to see this. I remember my father before he passed. My brother got married in the temple. And my father said, son, talking to me, I was in prison. He said, I've never seen such good and beautiful people as the Muslims. They make you feel so welcome. This was us treating us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's big for me and my father. I love my father. Ain't no question about it. Nate said his family said the same thing. So we got to get back to our work of showing how to live life rather than just walking around it. We live life under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Born 1897 with a third grade education. If Allah wasn't with him, who was? People say, well, he wasn't on the truth. They use different terms. You know what I mean? But no, how? I let them know. I got a Quran from the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I read that myself. They say he got his from there. You know what I mean? So we live in proof that Allah gave us something in America. We ain't got to show off. He don't need us to show off. God gave me something, he ain't give it to you. No, if he gave it to you, he gave you. My father got life before I did. He got an opportunity to show me, my brothers, my sister, that this is the way you live, son, being thankful to God, being one that shows that you appreciate his gifts to you. And that led me right into the Nation of Islam. Islam is nothing for us to be ashamed of. And I understand some imams, the Arabic wasn't that great. People was making them looking like they way in the backfield. Because you following a man and you don't know, he wasn't on the haq. He wasn't on the truth. His creed was believe in Allah. What do you mean? Well, he used to say something about Farad Muhammad. Yeah, he told us a lot of stories about Farad Muhammad. Don't forget the one that it says when he can return, he won't look like that. Neither he won't be God. That's how I got that. That's how I read that. And if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made an error, a mistake, Allah says he punished the person equal for equal, pound for pound on the wrong. But if you did that same pound in good, I give you without counting. And if you look at this multitude of people who accepted Islam, who has been affected with Islam in America and came truthfully into America serving God, I mean, blessings. Anybody, he said he gives without counting. We can't count as much as God can count. Matter of fact, as far as the numbers, we can't even count. His reward, we cannot count it. Why wouldn't we think? As I tell people, you standing over there, you don't even know him. And you're going to say he was wrong. But all the good that he did for those of us who practice Islam, you don't think Allah will reward him for that? Forget him. Forget the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Is Allah a liar? No, he's no liar. The truth is that we got a job to do. Those of us who came from there. Now, do anybody else got a job too? Yes. All of us, we got to stir the humanity. Those who want to come, come. Those who don't, no big thing. But we got more to build with today. We got things, doors open that we can build from that we never could before. Our brothers with Graceline Credit Union, that's not a new start for us. Remember, we had that before. Right here in Philadelphia, we had Bilal's Credit Union. Who stimulated that? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the name of the bank in Chicago. Federal something, but I forget something. I forget the name. But it ain't hard to find. He did that in the 60s. That was something he did that actually stimulated other things. He had doctors. He had supermarkets in those days, in the late 60s, early 70s. And he continued to show us how to do things without fear, trusting God, trusting Allah. And I think most of us would agree, we didn't look at Farad Muhammad. As I said, I remember many things that were said about Farhad Muhammad. And then when Imam got up there and had him up there on the roster when he came in office and told us what he told us about the professor,
mm-hmm.
he didn't insult him. In the lessons, remember this here in the lessons, this 1969, somewhere between July 18th and October of 1969. The lesson says that they wanted a boy. This is Alfonso, Farhad Muhammad's father. And what's his wife's name? It'll come to me. But they tried to have a baby and had a girl, and he said, oops. Missed that time. Ain't no God saying oops. I don't praise him. I say prayers for him. I'm talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I praise Allah. I don't praise Farhad Muhammad. We thank him for what he did by seeing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Allah put it together. He
did his part.
And look at how important the woman is, Sister Clara Muhammad. A friend took her to hear Farhad Muhammad, and she picked it up. This is what my husband need to hear. He drinking himself to death, but once he hear this is what she knew what he needs. Think about the good woman, the blessing. That's like our Eve, Hua, however we want to call it. And she take him in. He got a dime in his pocket to his name. And he gives it all and saying, I gave all I got. But he loved the message so much, he became the one that had a message for the black man.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah says, and I will send messengers. Know that I will.
Mm-hmm.
I will send guides. Know that I will. That's Quran. I ain't quoting something out of another book. That's out of the Quran. And there are people who still today stand not wanting to see this African-American descendant of a slave here in America practice Islam independently of them as it independently went to the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. It went all over the world independent of another people. Independent. Because Allah speaks to everyone and understands everyone's language. So, yeah, I can understand them fighting that losing battle, but it's a losing battle that you don't want us to be.
Now, Mali?
Yes, sir. You ready?
Yes.
Come on.
We have a caller on the line. I want to recognize his hand. I believe this is Muhammad Sharif, 914-434.
Yes.
Welcome to the Halal Industry. Do for self.
Assalamualaikum assalam.
Assalamualaikum.
Yeah, okay, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I've been listening. And when you said Muhammad, someone introduced us, so we'll go to a meeting with her to hear this man.
Yeah.
And then I said, I think I better call in now and ask everyone that's listening, did y'all get the book? It's two books.
What's the name?
Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad, wife of Elijah Muhammad, mother of Imam Bevedin Muhammad.
Tommy.
By Dr. Ara Zakir Muhammad. Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Yes.
Yeah, get... We're telling everyone, get those two books.
Yeah.
Telling about the Clara Evans Muhammad.
Yes.
Another book also, Muhammad.
Well, let me finish on this one before we go there, but Imam Kareem, this is the one that, this one we need to get. It's all about the history, right from the beginning. Before Farhad Muhammad came, when he came, and it's a lady, Farhad Muhammad's friend, asked her, she had heard a Professor Farhad She told her friend, it's Clara, would you go to the next meeting with me to hear this man?
Yes.
I said, Clara Muhammad, she went, they wanted to get Elijah Muhammad to go also, but at the time he wasn't in a shape to go. But anyway, she went with her friend. She said, but this man is saying something that maybe can help my husband. The rest is history.
And you that's
got,
right.
You got to get these two books. You got to get this.
Yes, yeah, by Dr. R. Zakiya Muhammad, right?
That's right. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking right here on my table. Got the both of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, get them on Amazon. Get them on Amazon.
Yeah, I got two already. I'm looking at it right here as you talk. I got one where she's wearing glasses and one she's not.
You're right. That's right.
We'll spread the word and get work to get the job done. Allah blessed us. Allah gave us a gift. They were a gift. And if it pleases Allah, we all know. They sitting waiting to get into paradise when he opened it up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to believe that and move forward and build. He and his wife had a much harder time back then than we do today. All we got to do is call everybody to action. And there's enough of us, and there's enough written material, proofs of people having not only heard, but went in the classes that they taught. Sister Clara, may Allah be very pleased with her. She took over the work when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had the first go to run from Detroit, and then when he went to jail. So yes, we have strong women, many strong women, and we can't. See, here's another thing. When we look at the life we've lived, and we study the life of our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, we don't see him treating women like they don't belong. Even this covering, the way they covered, fine, that's good. But how did that come about? The people was raping the first sisters that was coming to Islam during this prophet's time. He didn't have an army. He had Omar and them who could you know, jazz up tough guys back then. But they would always say, well, we didn't know she was a Muslim. So the prophet made words that would tell them to change the way they clothed themselves, because the people would say, they look just like, we didn't know she was Muslim. She looked just like she'd been looking. So they had to change their clothes. So they covered differently than everybody else. Then, one day, Sister Aisha, the prophet's wife, may Allah be pleased, she came out and she saw two sisters, according to the hadith, saw two sisters covering, like wrapped kind of around the neck, over the head, and around the face. And she said, whoa. Now, she said it in Arabic. She didn't say it just like that. But she said, whoa. You two sisters, you went further to cover your face, you'll get paradise. Did she get revelation or she had a feeling? She had a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So the sister, well, let's back away from the sister just a minute. Yeah. The sister being said, told something. Allah says in the Quran, to the woman mostly, but also to the man, dress modestly.
Mm-hmm.
When we see the brothers that killed this sister, just a few, less than 2 months maybe, overseas, because she didn't have something on. I would challenge anybody that would say different. If a Muslim, woman or male, walk in the street bug-naked, that's not the way they should be. The first thought is they going crazy? Did they take some medicine? Do they, or, you know, did something happen? Let's clothe her. Let's throw my coat over her and get her in the house. That's Sister so-and-so. That's the first thought. Because Allah says what? No compulsion in this religion. And if they were just walking down the street like that, then we have to talk to them. They can't come into certain things. But to kill them? No, we have to show them how to live the life that Allah has given us in a way that there's mercy, there's feeling. No, we don't want nobody walking around naked, disturbing things. But we don't have to kill them. They I don't know why they blew up the masjid on Juma, overseas.
During
Juma.
That's right.
You're going to blow up a masjid, even if it's empty. These people have lost their mind on how to practice Islam. So Allah had put Islam in our path on this day, these times, to live it in a way to be an example, to shame them. Allah has utilized us to be the mercy to humanity. We just got to believe it. We ain't got to
speak. You know something, ma'am?
Yes, go ahead and speak, man.
Yeah. Will you have these books and before you meet next Wednesday?
Will I have them? I got them sitting in front of me, both of mine. I wasn't looking at advertisement. I got two. I got both books already. Well, what would you like to say?
Got the books. Come back and see who else get the books by next Wednesday. This is not what she wrote on her own, and she talked to the family members. She talked to all the children of Clara and Elijah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
so you want
that's
to,
right. You, what was that?
I said you want to discuss it next Wednesday? You welcome.
Oh, not necessarily discuss it. I want everybody to get it. Get the
book.
Because once they get and read it, I don't know if they're going to want this. I don't know if they're going to want to discuss it.
I mean.
Have you read them yet?
No, not from cover to cover. I glanced through. I skimmed. I'll be truthful. I skimmed through it. But I will read them. Reading, when I was younger, reading was my hobby. You know what I mean? That was my hobby.
Once the people read it, they may not want to discuss it.
There you go.
Muhammad, this is Kareem Hamid. What's the author's name, if you would, please?
His name is Dr. Ara Zakir Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Dr. Ara Zakir Muhammad.
Now, is it a he? I thought it was a sister that wrote it. I could be wrong.
Yeah, yes, it's a sister. Yes, he's a sister. Doctor. Dr. Ara Zakir Muhammad.
Yeah, almost sound like you said he. You know me? Okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a name of the book is Mother of the Nation?
Yeah, yes. Mother of the Nation. Clara Evans Muhammad.
That's it.
Wife of Elijah Muhammad, mother of Imam Bevedine Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
One book says, the latter years, this is in parentheses, the latter years, 1930 to 1972.
Yes, yes.
Those that can afford it can order those books and order one for themselves and their family and friends, but also see if they can be placed in the public library in your city.
I mean, that's right. That's right.
No, you need this in your house so you can when you can look at the time to have a good library. I'll tell you what.
What I'm saying is if it's in the library, it's accessible to the public.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we can afford.
You want this in your private? You want this in your private library?
Get your private one. But there's nothing wrong with getting a set, and if you can place them in the library, let me say this: these books were not just
me, ma'am. Kareem.
What?
Come on, email. Well, please.
I haven't even finished saying. I haven't even finished my statement.
I'll get off. I just want to tell people about the book. I'll get off, Imam Kareem. I just want to tell people about these books. I won't say any more about it.
Yeah. Well, all right, bro. Go ahead, brother. Imam.
You know, thank you. You know,
welcome.
I don't know what it is, but I get treated like this often. But I'm not going to even try and figure it out. But what I'm saying is that these books are written to be published. And published means giving access to the public.
That's right.
Not just
exactly.
That's all.
Yeah.
I'll stop right there, my brother.
Yes, and I agree with it. I understand Brother Muhammad's concern, but really once we got them in our homes, then they should be in our schools and our libraries. Our history has to be there. We have to take charge of that. So everybody know the story from those who tell it, who are part of the story. You know what I mean? We can testify. We got people that live, still living. I saw Farah Muhammad before she died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I saw the Honorable Elijah Muhammad before he died. I saw Imam Muhammad before he died. And I just saw him. Very close to the Imam. Got close to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but more of my family got closer there than people out of Philly. Because I went away, not intentionally, but I did go away for a period of time. And those same people that we walked together from Philly became his security, Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then became Imam Muhammad. Then later on, Imam Muhammad brought me on close to him. You know what I mean? So that don't make me no big to do. I'm just saying all of us, we got too much history not to put it in each other's house, in each other's knowledge base, but also our libraries and where we can, our schools. I often say once we're open, Allah willing, I pray that all of us can see this, one live to see this, not just because of me, but any of us that's doing what we're trying to do of good. I would like to know immediately when we make money, can CWSC, Community-Wide Shore Conference, take over towers? Because we got to have our own towers. What I mean by towers is a way to speak on airwaves, radios, TVs, et cetera, across the world. Our own internet set, whatever. But bottom line is, no, we need people that do that kind of thing, that will actually touch base with others, that do it even more. And before we know anything, we're speaking like we're speaking now in a decent way, but speaking on the truth around the world. That's what, see, they've been shutting us down to the neighborhood. We're out of the neighborhood now.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to come together, build the model community. And the model is just like what Allah says about the prophet. He's the model. That means Allah's blessing is with the model. If it's right, Allah's blessing is there. We can change the world. What did the Imam say early on? You know what I mean? Remake the world. Prior to that, he said from dust. When he said dust, when he said a lot of things, all of us move. When he said dust to industry and began to say what he meant about from dust,
right.
Man, I took on that term talking about the meat. Dust to industry. Now, to some people, dust meant, do you got any money? You got any dust, man, back in the day?
Right.
Tippy day.
That's right. Got
you. You got any dust?
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to see, all of us collectively, let's fall in love with each other again. Those who are living wrong among us, let's work on them. But that's a small number. Allah didn't give us a lot of poison people.
Right.
Let's work on loving each other across this country again. We love our imams. But Imam, please, you know, I don't want to know Arabic so well that I can't speak to my people. An African-American standing in Juma or Tallinn, knowing Arabic very well, almost like a second language, doing it as well as English, that's great. And that need to be a teaching, but not a conversation. If you're conversing.
Imam Wali.
Yes, go ahead, my brother.
Yes, sir. you are called to us to start loving one another. It's
okay.
Very important. Very
yep.
important. It is paramount
yeah.
how we treat each other.
That's
how
right.
we reach, how we another.
I mean.
That's very important. Too many of us are behaving as if we don't like each other. No,
yes.
we have to love one another genuinely.
I mean,
you know, genuinely.
That's right.
And it begins with respecting yourself and others.
Yes.
Right. Concerning the Arabia, we are compelled to learn the Arabic Fusha, the Arabic of the Quran. Now, but even after you learn that, here is another special gift Imam Muhammad had.
Yes,
you will run into concepts and construct that you aren't even familiar with.
Yes.
They are so fresh. Here is the miracle of Imam Muhammad. He could take those high, very complex
yeah.
circumstances
mm-hmm.
and break them down to the language that the common man could understand.
I mean,
That's right.
The learning of the Arabia is to understand the Quran more. The concern was brought to Imam Muhammad about the imams using so much Arabic
yes.
in their khutbahs. And he said, oh, well, they are just showing off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
They are just showing. I know something that you don't know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we must check our egos and use
yeah.
a thing for which it was designed to be used. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Walaikum Aslam. And as I say many times here in Philadelphia, when I'm sitting on the floor, and like I say, I'm 75, so I remember the days, the battles of the groups, Temptations, mm-hmm. Spinners, Four Tops, Miracles, and all the rest of them. You know what I mean? And that's what it looked like sometimes. You're trying to do that. And nothing wrong with Arabic. We love it. No question about it. But if you're talking to people that don't know it, we're missing one step that's very important, and that is that Allah says, speak to the people in the language that they know. So they can't have a chance. They won't have a chance to say they didn't understand. So it would be nice if all of us can speak 4 or 5 languages. Most of us don't have time to get it. But we can make sure in our schools our children get it, and we get as much as we can. In other words, I don't know enough Arabic to tell these experiences to an Arab who don't speak English. So if I'm talking to a few Arabs in the audience, fine, that's beautiful. But the crowd is English. Who am I teaching? If I know that my family can't understand me, and there's some that'll do that. They show up right with their wife and children, talking to them, like they need that. No, we need English. We need, because English is our tongue. We need Arabic because in our faith started in Arabic. We need Spanish. We need some of the message. What is it called? Either way, it's Oriental speaking. Those things we need to communicate with the world. If we do a business, some of our neighborhoods, we won't find nobody coming in our neighborhood doing business with us from other places unless they stuck in our neighborhood. Chinatown and every one of the cities, you can almost guarantee they don't care whether we came in or not. But okay, that ain't no reason for us not to learn to speak the language. Go ahead, brother, man. You want to jump in? Come on. You're welcome.
Yes. Purpose of reading the Quran is to get its benefit.
I mean,
its benefit is found in the original language. And the understanding is growing and growing and growing and growing. So matter of fact, the Arabs, they have to go to school to learn.
Yeah. That's right, the Quran.
Arabia Usha. They have to go to learn that. And many of them that are Hafiz, if you ask them, now, what does that mean? He couldn't tell you.
Can't tell you.
But he has, but he has memorized the book.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Allah didn't just send the book. Allah sent the book and the hikmah, the wisdom along with
that's
the
right.
book. So, yes, we'll study, but it's to give us new concepts, a new way of thinking, a new vision, a new perspective, and we have to know how to share that. We have to know how to share that with the public.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Not just for us. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, and if there's no one that want to come in, you can do a PSA right quick. Amen.
Okay, I sure will. So we ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You're listening to Halal Industries, Do for Self. We pause now for public service announcement.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
And we're back, Imam Waleed Ayub-Bilal.
Yes, sir. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. Do for Self with your host, Imam Waleed Ayub-Bilal, president and founder and CEO of Bilal Inc. And co-host, James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Parent Corporation Community Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you, Brother Nate. Once again, this is Imam Waleed Ayub-Bilal, the Halal Industry, Do for Self. And I'm very grateful for our brother Imam Hameen for handling the boards for us. Our system is down for some reason, but we'll work on it, try to get it straight by next week. We thank Brother Muhammad. And
with someone else to get on too, right? The sister, yeah. Sister Martha, that's right.
Sister Martha Knight.
That's right. That's right. For the comments and joining in and this is what we got to have really around the country. People talking to each other. That's
right.
I don't believe no one can bring something to life the way we need to do it by Allah's permission without having Allah's permission. That's number one. You can't do it, us or anybody else. But I believe we have this permission to become those who are a model here in America that actually will stimulate others to get back on board where they should be. You know, I always brag or say what I love I have for my father. My father was a model. Like I say, I'm a youngster. When I'm by myself, I'm a teenager, and I'm going down in another territory in Philadelphia. You know, you had gangs. I'm from 8th and Cater. We eventually became 13th and South. But I'd go down 5th Street or 7th Street, who we fighting, and a lot of times I'd be by myself. And they, what the hell are you doing there? I'd curse back. But when I get a few blocks away from them to see myself in the glass, I said, "You, Harry, you know that, ain't you? What you cursing for?" I got that watching my father. I never heard him curse. Never seen him drink. He was the model. He didn't call himself a Muslim of the Nation of Islam. He was a Christian. But when I looked at the Nation of Islam, I saw everything my father talked about, doing for self, supporting each other, bringing your strengths together, taking care of your women. This was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad repeating to me, new, what my father had taught me since I was a baby. My father would read scriptures. I learned to read scriptures with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And believe me, my father, there's never been a man I walked with as long as I've walked with that I could put over him. I give the qualification to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad, even though I walked with the Imam a little bit, 4 years. I was able to walk from 2004 till he passed 2008. He kept me close, you know what I mean? And you know, we didn't walk the street every day, but what he had me do, he kept me close, and I thank Allah for that. Take that away, there's not a man that's stronger to me in my life than my father. Take away that the Quran says from Allah, how we supposed to position the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. If it don't be for Allah saying that, there will be no man that I can measure up to my father. But everybody had their roles. He was my father. My father was given to me by Allah. All dots got to be connected. And when we look at that, then we become the image to recognize nothing we did. Even when we made a mistake and we sought forgiveness and corrected it, that's Allah doing for us. Allah says, when the victory comes, one of my favorite ayahs,
mm-hmm.
When the victory comes, stay humble, stay in prayer, and don't treat them like they treated you. That tells us you may look like you're on the bottom, but get yourself straight. One day you're going to be in their seat. But as Allah says, don't treat them like they treated you. This is our day in America. Allah, like I said, from my vision, my understanding, from what I see, Allah allowed us to go through a life that put us where we'll be cleared, our hearts will be clean, ready for the Quran. And being ready for the Quran is even to accept other people who are not ready yet. When we look at it properly, We make the model by Allah's permission. People will come on board who once upon a time were frowned just looking at us. But they see God's work in us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can escape that, not even Shaitan. Shaitan can't escape seeing that, yeah, let him go, Allah. Let me get him. Let me get close to him and see what I do to him. So he had to ask for permission. He can't just get close to us. And if we look at it, as I often say, you got to be a hell of a fella to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us, Allah gives us too many ways. Just do some good, and you worked off some wrong that you did. Whatever the mistake may have been, whether we're conscious of it or not, here in America, the loudest microphone in the world today, that's our mouthpiece. We going to be able to speak from that. We got to groom young people. Don't just be praying. Some of them got to be learning how to be government leaders, local, state, and federal. Why wouldn't this country one day become all Islamic if we wouldn't see a president that's a Muslim? Now, that's all right if it come and be an Arab or Pakistani or whatever the case is, but what's wrong with us? We got educated people that this is their life, but some have come in among us and tell our young brothers and sisters, oh, no, you're not American. You're not American. Muslim or not American. You weren't Saudi until Allah blessed you to come that way. You wasn't Pakistani until Allah blessed us to come that way. This is our world right now. And we should be those who are willing to defend it. And I ain't just saying this because I'm in the Vietnam, been in the Vietnam War. Who would we let come in and tear up our country? And for what? Under what? We're doing it under Islam. Find it in the Quran where Allah tell you to do that. It's different if somebody came and warred against us, but how can we let anybody come in and talk us out of being what we are in the country that we're in? Allah made Americans just like he made Africans and Saudis, and that he put us in this place. If we know it that way and we're looking at ourselves in this day and time, with the strengths that we have, we're going to have another publishing company one day. I want to push the picture. I asked Sister Aisha, can I push that again one day? That we come together and we bring so many people together to raise money for the purpose of buying a strip mall. Strip malls don't cost that much. But not to buy the strip mall to have a publishing company like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, which I worked in, and I was so pleased to be have that in my history. But we want to start off, you need a strip mall to rent out offices among Muslims and non-Muslims, but nothing that won't be considered halal. But her main feature there, if she would take it, and if she won't, there are other people that will do it. I pray she would be the one because she's been our publisher for some time. And we should reward those who have worked for us by considering them first. So if we got a nice size of that piece of that mall, not over size it, but a nice piece of it, and turn it into a book publishing company where we write our life stories. They don't want to tell them in school. They don't make a difference. I was saying this even if you tell them in school. But we should have our life story so our young read and learn our history as well as other books in there. Publishing other books. And one day we'll have a publishing company like we had on Federal Street in Chicago. That was something. I enjoyed working there. I'd sometimes get off and just instead of going home, just walk off through the building to look how promising it was. Little man, 1897, with a third grade education, was able to chisel this out among us. During a time that in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, when people could not read and write. Think about that. And fighting whatever obstacles he had. And he had a wife that stayed with him and led where she was needed to lead, where he couldn't be be found in those areas at that time. These things wasn't just haphazard things. These are things that Allah guided leaders before us into. And we can do it today in a bigger way, much bigger way. I put an article in the Muslim Journal. I'm reaching out to Sister Aisha to find out why it hasn't been shown yet, speaking to the model community. If we don't do the Zoom this month, I want to speak with Sister Martha maybe later this evening or tomorrow, whichever is good for her, and see if CWSC can be of help with the Zoom part, particularly help hosting it, you know what I mean? And let's get it on the road where we want to share the information so we get people to start listening, to start getting involved that have the ability to do something. Those people that run banks, they should be getting together. Those who are doctors and even if they, the doctors of science of health foods, then they need to be doing these things together in a hospital that belongs to us. Where's the hospital at? We don't have it. But if the economics come through, we're gonna produce something that will house an area for us to have our first hospital of these times. When I say us, I'm talking about this body, the Nation of Islam, and Imam W.D. Muhammad. And some of you, you like know how to coin phrases, give us a title. You know, when it's all said and done, give us a title. So when it's identified, let's identify the country, around the country, about that. Those are the Muslims of America. Could be called something that simple, but we want greater minds, thinkers, than myself to look at that, because we want the right impact across the world. We can do it. There's nothing stopping us. The only thing stop us is just like a family. You got a father, you got a mother, you got brothers, you got sisters, you know what I mean, grandchildren, et cetera. But nobody do anything together. Just go to work, pay all the bills, grow in the neighborhood, watch everybody grow up and get married. That's fine. That's fine. That's beautiful. But when you're building as a nation within a nation, without thinking about overthrow, building, claiming your own, we can see president after president coming in. We don't need crazy people talking about what old Blondie talks about, Orangey talks about. And I ain't calling him no name, just way of identifying without using his name, you know what I mean? But bottom line is, we got to have more. Muslims come over and told us, don't vote. What do you mean, don't vote? Do you think that they didn't vote in Medina when it was Yatriz? Their first instruction from the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, before he went to Yatriz, was go back. He told them, go back. They asked. They wanted. They said, we as a people, we want you to come and lead our country. They wanted to figure out why they wasn't having peace among their own selves. But they knew he was a man that could settle this. So the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, go back. Come back this time next year. And we'll go back for a year and talk to your people and see if they really want me. When he came back the next time, he came with such a crowd that the prophet went with them. Prophet and the companions went with them. As they got close, where they could be seen from a distance, the people that were still in town came out to the edges of the town, through trees and everything, hollering, Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. They knew they needed that. And when he got there, he began to look around, where will he builds his home. He was there to stay. And when later on, when people came from Becca, there wasn't any Mecca yet, he'd get them to shake the hands with what was then called the helpers. You know what I mean? There was the people of Medina, still not called Medina yet. And he told them to shake hands. I tell the foreigner brothers here, this is what you're supposed to do when you come here in America.
Mm-hmm.
You bring your strength and mix it with our strength, but you don't get in front of us. Where you need to be in front of us, we'll push you up. You teach in Arabic? Go ahead on up front and teach us all Arabic. But don't lead us. Who said that? Muhammad the Prophet said it. Let people keep their culture. Muhammad the Prophet said it. To the best of his companions. Why? Who gave you culture? Me and you, we don't know culture. And I say me and you, I'm talking about me and any human being. We give it a name after we realize that what it is, but Allah gives everybody culture. And we have to believe that. So we see the time, brother Imam. I'm sorry to run right up into it. So we're going to end at this time. Pray to Allah that all of you will visit with us next week. Stay on AM360 as much as you can. Always some good information. But we'll see you next week, Allah willing, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with the halal industry do for self, as we close out. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. Once again, thank you very much for handling everything for us. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome. Wa alaikum assalam. We would like to invite the listening audience to tune into America Muslim 360 tomorrow morning. at 10 a.m. for the broadcast of Solutions to Critical Issues, Money Sense, and A New Day for Islam in America, hosted by Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasib. That is the Solutions for Critical Issues. And following that is Money Sense, hosted by Imam Adam Beya, and A New Day for Islam in America is hosted by our beloved Imam Yusuf Ramadan. So we look